And I just said, God, here I am, free, and I can go. It's been a hard move, and two hardest things is leaving the church and leaving my buddy Terry. So
that's why we're praying for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So join me in praying. Lord, it's with some mixed emotion that we pray for our sister Joyce today, as we're going to miss her. We're glad that she'll still be able to come back from time to time, and she's not that far away, but we just pray, Lord, that your presence would fill her, that you would go with her in your power and in the comfort that you bring. God, that you'll give her new friends, that she will find a new church family, and that she'll continue to serve you with all of her heart, God. We thank you for the love that exudes from this woman, and I pray that that'll continue. And that you will use the gifts that she has, Lord, and that you will bless her and prosper her, that her new job will be a great new job, and that she'll be able to just even grow closer to her family as she's nearer to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the friendship you
have. We have. You're going to sing for us, right?
Right.
Yeah, so we have this tradition, and I know some of you don't even know about this tradition. We don't have many traditions. I just decided it was a tradition, actually. And that's that if you're leaving the church, you need to sing. We're finding out that there's a lot less people that leave the church. Just kidding. Joyce is going to minister with a song.
I just want to tell you, Thursday, I got a great granddaughter. I am so blessed. Help me, Jesus. Help me just to sit home with you. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing along. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Lord, I need you. Yes, Jesus. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, yes. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Yes, Jesus. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, yes, Jesus. Lord, I need you. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. 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 Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. To you, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh yeah. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you. Yes, my Jesus, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Oh, yes, Jesus, Lord, I worship you. Yes, worship Jesus, Lord, I worship you. You alone, my Lord, you, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah to our Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, I sing hallelujah. Bless my pastor, Lord, oh bless my pastor, Lord. Bless my pastor, Lord, and draw him unto you. Bless my pastor, Lord, that's Pastor Stan, Lord. Bless my pastor, Lord. Bless my pastor, Lord. Oh, bless my pastor, Lord. Draw this body unto you, Lord. Oh, draw this body unto you, Lord. Draw this body unto you, my Jesus. Draw this body unto you, my Lord. Draw this body unto you. Oh, draw this body unto you. Draw this body unto you, and bless them, Jesus. One more time, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
Bless you. You say amen? Awesome. I've never heard that one verse before. I like it. Amen. Man, God is just in this place. The Holy Spirit is heavy here. And I mean that in a good way. You know, He's working. You know, and I know that some of us have gone through some hard things this week. And whether it's financial or emotional, relational, some of us are struggling with some relationships. Just know this today, that God's here because He wants to heal you. He wants to bring peace. He just wants you to know how deep His love runs for you, and that no matter what trouble you find yourself in, it's not a big deal for Him. This is not a big deal, He says. I can handle this. You just gotta hand it to me. Whether it's your son or your daughter or your marriage that's just not working, or you're going broke, or the police are after you. Hey, there's nothing that God can't handle. And He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Amen? Take heart, I've overcome the world. Thank you, God. Yeah. Praise God. This morning, we want to end today with the Lord's Supper. So I just really felt God was saying, this is what I want to get the last word, is what God was saying. Not you, Stan, but I want to get the last word. So we're going to end. The last thing we're going to do today is we're going to come to the table, we're going to eat, and we're going to drink, and then we're going to go. And you can come and still fellowship and meet and talk and pray, or you can just take it and leave and take it with you as you go, that this is the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we do this, and then there's just so many words and other things that happen afterwards that it loses the power. And there's power in the table of God. There's table. So I want you to know that ahead of time. I'm going to preach in a few minutes. We want to share God's word. We're going to spend some time after that giving thanks. So I know some of you have your hands up already. You got something you want to say. It's going to happen, all right? Just be patient. And then we're going to come to the Lord's table. We'll sing a couple songs. During those songs, you're going to be invited to come. If you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus, if he is someone that you've asked into your heart, you're invited. Just come and remember. I'm going to tell you what this is about. If you're wondering, it's important that we understand what we're doing. It's Jesus who said, this is my table and you should come here and you should enjoy this. This is a celebration of love. This is a reminder of the cross and of the resurrection. And this is for you. I love that he said, I break this and I give it to you. You know, not just to someone who rules over you. I give this to you. You should take it and you should eat it or you should drink it and you should remember. Just remember. Take some time and reflect. Take some time and do some inventory of your lives. Take some time and be grateful, because this is about being thankful to God. Remember and believe what I've done for you, is what Jesus says. And he says that we should do this, not just once or twice, we should do this until the day when Jesus comes again. Do this until I return, he says. This is a proclamation. When you take this today, you put it in your mouth, you're saying, Jesus, you're coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Come again. Come, Lord. And there's another thing, and this is important for us. It's probably important for every church, but it's important for us too, that we eat from one loaf. I know there's two, but symbolically we eat from one loaf. And Jesus said that, and he did that as a reminder to us that we're one body. You know, you look around, this is who you got. This is your church. This is your body. These are the people you need to pray for. These are the people you need to encourage. These are not the people you need to bite and devour. These are not the people you need to criticize or knock down. This is the body of Christ, and we need to avoid the gossip and the criticism and the religious spirit. We need to avoid all of it and stand together as one. We have so much more in common. I know we got a lot of differences. It's one of the peculiar things, and yeah, we're a peculiar bunch. One of the peculiar things about our church is we come from lots of different places. A lot of different starting points. We have different starting points. But God has brought us to this point together. Amen. And it takes work to do this. But I'm challenging you today to be one. It was the prayer that Jesus had before he went to the cross. The longest prayer in the whole Bible. He prayed, Father, make them one as we are one. You understand that? Make us one. Like, as we are one? Are you kidding me? The triune God, one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, essentially one. Make them one, he said. Make them one. So it's time to die to our opinions sometimes. It's time to die to what we think or what we prefer, maybe even. I have lots of preferences too. I know you do too. Maybe even sometimes, maybe I'm stepping over the line here, but sometimes you look at someone who's in our body and you look at them and you go, well, I don't like the way they worship. That's not the way we worship. That's not what happened when I grew up. I just want to remind you that worship isn't first of all for you. That worship is for God. And let's let God decide whether that worship is pleasing to him. Let's let God decide that, all right? Amen. So, keeping that in mind, you know, and I'm saying this, you know, this isn't, not trying to whip you with my tongue. I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud to be a part of this. I'm thankful for this body. I'm so grateful to be one with you. I'm grateful for the diversity. I'm thankful that we're not all the same. I'm grateful that the Word says we should live in harmony with one another, not unison. You know, I said this before. We don't all need to sing the same note. We just need to sing and try to make it sound good if we can. Do the best we can, right? I'm thankful, and I praise God. He's building an army here. He really is. One at a time, he's building an army. He's filling us with the gifts of his Holy Spirit. And there is evidence, there is fruit of the Holy Spirit all around. And all you need to do is open your eyes. Are there things wrong here? Yeah. There's lots of things wrong, and it's not hard to find them. It isn't. But there's lots of things right, because Jesus is the Lord. Amen. And he is the Lord of this body. He's the Lord of this church. Yeah. If you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you today to turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, we've been looking at God's Word and learning about seeking God and how we need to look towards and we need to look to Jesus. We need to have our eyes open to see Jesus for where he is, like Zacchaeus when Jesus was coming down the road and he climbed up the tree and he was waiting, he could see Jesus. And then last week we talked about the holiness of God in terms of Moses and the burning bush, and how Moses really saw a reflection of God in that bush, and that we saw how holy God is, that when we really start looking at God and at who He is, He is holy in our lives. He is righteous. He is sovereign. He knows everything, and we don't. He is God. And just God led me to Psalm 34. Thanks, God. Because it talks so wonderfully about seeking God and about seeing Him and about opening our eyes. I just believe that God's not finished with this theme and with this teaching. We need to hear more about this. We need to get our eyes opened up. I believe that there's so many, maybe even particularly in the church, you know, who are still blind to Jesus. They're blind to what Jesus wants and for who He is and for that relationship. And just because we're in a church, it doesn't mean that our eyes are necessarily open. Our eyes need to be opened by the Holy Spirit. It's why Jesus sent the Comforter. It's why He sent the Enlightener, the Holy Spirit, so that we could be alive, so that our eyes could be open. And I want to be a part of a church where our eyes are open, where we're seeing Jesus. Amen? I really do. And I just want, you know, it doesn't mean just because we're going every Sunday to church or you go to Bible study, doesn't mean your eyes are open. Our eyes need to be opened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist, David, in this case, spoke about seeing God and looking towards Him. And I want to read these words and then just say a few words about it. So Psalm 34, it's a psalm of praise. And he says this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Isn't that good? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek, there's that word again, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now we have the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So if our eyes are on Him, we know that all along His eyes have been on us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Any of you brokenhearted today? Take this as a promise. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them will be broken. That's you, Carl. Amen? From what we talked about earlier, this is between you and us. We don't need to tell everybody else. Evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned, but the Lord redeems His servant, and no one will be condemned who takes refuge in Him. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in our God. Amen. It's about seeking God. And I love how David speaks about looking towards God and seeing God and searching Him out. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears, he says. I sought the Lord, He answered me. Isn't that a good word to just start off? I mean, it's hard not to preach good on a passage like this, you know. You can be a bad preacher, you can still preach on Psalm 34. Don't say anything. I sought the Lord and, you know, and He answered my prayers. I sought God and when I sought Him, He delivered me from my enemies and He set me on a high place and he gave me the refuge that I need. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And then another word for seeking. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Wow. We have a God who is attentive to our prayers. We have a God who who bends down and he wants to hear us even when we're whispering. What's that? What did you say? I'm your God. I want to know what's on your heart. We have a God who answers our prayers even though the world all around us and maybe even sometimes other Christian friends tell us that's not true, that God's not answering our prayers. What the Word of God says is that He does answer our prayers. That He's a God who's faithful and He's righteous and He listens and He hears us and He answers us. So whatever you're crying out to God for, know this today, you don't need to cry any louder, and you don't need to get a knife and cut yourself and dance around the altar like the prophets of Baal did. You don't need to do that. God hears you. God hears your prayer. He hears the cry of your heart. He knows what you need. He knows what you're asking for. God knows. And He answers. Again, not always like we want, not always with the answer that we prefer, but God always answers. God's always in that relationship with us where He wants to know what's on our hearts. He wants to know what we're grieving with or what we're struggling about. And He wants us to know that He cares about us. He cares so much that He listens. Isn't that great? He's a God who listens. I had a dad. I used to drive with him. He was a trucker. And I'd drive with him down the road. I mean, he would be driving. I was younger. And my dad had to, don't tell anyone I said this, but he would do his bookwork while he was driving. He'd be driving down the road and he'd be checking things. I mean, nowadays you're not allowed to even use your cell phone, but I'd be talking to my dad in the truck, and like, there's only the two of us in the truck, Dad. And I'd be saying something to Dad, and he wouldn't hear me. He wouldn't respond to me. He wouldn't answer me. You know? I'd be talking, and then I'd ask him a question, and you know, he wasn't attentive to me. But my Father God is attentive to me. All I need to do is cry out, Jesus, and He goes, I'm here. I'm here. In fact, I've always been here. You didn't conjure me up. I've always been here. I'm your Savior and I love you. And I love what it says. I also wonder about what it says. When it says that those who look to Him, their faces are radiant. Whew, is that true? Glory. Yeah, glory. I mean, in other words, there should be a visible difference in our lives when we look to Jesus. It should be visible. And I see it in you, you know. But our faces should be radiant, it says. Our faces should be glowing with the joy of the Lord. There should be a peace on us because it doesn't matter what man does to me. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. What really matters is what God is and who He is in my life. What people think of me doesn't matter at all because my God loves me. My face should be radiant. That's what it says. Those who look to the Lord, their faces are radiant. I was in a group of people this week, and most of them were Christians, and some of them I knew from a long, long time ago. And there was a whole bunch of us in this one group. I don't want to get too specific about it. But there were some people there, and some of them I knew for just about 30 years now. And there are some people there who just had a glow to their faces. They loved God. You could see there was joy, and there was peace, and there was just a fullness of God's Holy Spirit. But there was a lot of other ones, and these are Christian people. There's a lot of other ones. And you know what? All I could say, and I said it to Crystal afterwards, is that just like nothing has changed here. Nothing is any different than it was before. There's still no real joy. There's still no radiance. And there's still that fullness of the Holy Spirit needs to move in so many people's lives. I really don't want to be critical. What I really want to say is I'm so glad. I came out of there so glad that God has changed me and that He keeps changing me, right? And I think that we ought to look back on our lives and you ought to look back 5 years or 10 years and say, you know what, I'm different than I used to be because that's the kind of God He is. He's a God who does change me. He's shaping me. If He really is the potter, then it should be visible that something is happening in my life. I am getting shaped over these years. And what He wants out of my life, what needs to be visible, is that I have a radiance of the glory of God, right? Your faces should show the radiance of the glory of God. It happened while we were singing songs this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you just would have looked around, and you don't need to because you're worshiping God, but we have the benefit of seeing, you know, the faces of people worshiping God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Right? And their faces, your faces are glowing and they're radiating. And let's be clear about this, that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. If you want your face to glow, you can go to the bar. It'll glow after a while, right? Or you can just get really angry. Some people get really angry. Their faces just get beet red and they glow with anger, right?
We're talking here, though, about a joy that comes from God, that when we seek God and when we invite Jesus into our hearts, that there's got to be something visibly different in our demeanor, in how we walk around, in who we are. And I wonder if people around us are seeing it the way God wants them to see it. I mean, I think they are, but I also think we could heed this word and we could allow, and I think that's the word, we can allow the joy to pour out from us. Why are we not allowing that? Why do we need to be so dignified? Why are we stopping that glow or that radiance? And it's glory. Really, the word is glory. Why is the glory of the Lord? Why would we put a veil over the glory of the Lord? We have so much to thank God for. We have so much to praise God for. He has changed my life. He sent His Son Jesus. He poured out His blood for me. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you can clap. That's what this is all about, right? That's what it's all about. You know, sometimes you go to groups, churches, whatever you want to call it, and the young people, they don't want, they're too cool to show that joy. And the older people, they're no different. And the middle people are no different either. Well, we're just going to stay composed here. You know, I'm a senior. I'm dignified, you know. I have a lot of respect around this place. That's the last thing I need is to start shouting to God and letting my face start glowing. So, right? I mean, we're worried about what other people think instead of what God thinks. And here's what God says. He says, let your faces show the glory of God. Look to the Lord and let your faces be radiant. The world around us, and that means the neighbor who lives next to you, or the person across the hall in your apartment, or maybe a family member that's a neighbor too. They need to see this in your life. If they're not, and I know I'm not consistent all the time either, but if people are not seeing that I have a passion for Christ, that my heart burns with a zeal for Jesus, and that I know that everything's okay because I'm going to heaven. I am. If they're not seeing that, right, Lynn? If they're not seeing that, then we're not compelling them to believe, right? We're just looking. And you take this for what it's worth. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. We're just looking like all the rest of the world. We're kind of mad today. I'm not in a very good mood. Or I'm feeling sorry for myself. Poor me. Life isn't going very good. No. We're no different. If that happens, we're no different. And I'm not saying that we don't ever have any struggles as Christians. We do. We wake up some mornings and a lot of hard things might happen. You have Jesus Christ. You have a Savior who has overcome the world. You will have trouble, but I've overcome the world. And you have the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to give that worry or that fear or that self-pity back to Jesus and to walk in victory. Are you getting that? We need to walk in victory. And I could point out some people, I'm not going to do it, but we have people here that show a great example of that. Every step they take, you go, wow, that is awesome. There is the radiance of God in her or in him. Now, another thing that the psalmist says is he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I've been thinking about that. You know, I look to the Lord. Let me read it so that we're all clear on the same thing here. It takes a second. It's harder. The older I get, the longer it gets. Here we go. He says, He delivered me from all my foes. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And then verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. We need to taste and see how good God is. That's what David is saying. We need to just taste and see. You know, I've said that phrase over lots of times. Taste and see. I've used that phrase. I've heard it. I'm familiar with it. But it didn't strike me until this week about how odd a statement that is. If you think about it, that's kind of an odd way to speak. Taste and see. What do you mean taste and see? It should be taste and eat or taste and chew. But taste and see, those are two different senses, right? Those are two different senses. What do you mean taste and see? That's like saying touch and hear. Touch and hear that the Lord is good. Like, how does this work, right? Taste and see. And what I think we need to understand, and I should have mentioned this earlier, but I'll get to it, is that a lot of this psalm is looking back to Adam and Eve. This is a story, there's references throughout this about the Garden of Eden. For example, when he says our faces should be radiant and they should not be put to shame, we shouldn't be covered in shame, that's a reminder of Adam and Eve. A reminder that when they ate from that tree, that they were filled with shame and they were filled with disappointment. They knew they disappointed God and they knew that they were set apart from God because of their sin. You know, and what he's saying is we don't need to be that way anymore. We don't need to be that way anymore. I don't need to have my face covered with shame. My face can now radiate with the glory of God. And then he goes and he says, now along that same motif of Adam and Eve and of the tree, taste and see that God is good. So when he says that, what he's really doing is he's reminding us of when Adam took that fruit and when Eve took that fruit and they tasted, and when they tasted, they saw that they were naked. In that act of tasting, in that act of disobedience, they saw that they were guilty and that they were ashamed and that they were separated from God. So if you're wondering about that phrase, taste and see, because it seems like an odd phrase, if you see it in the context of that tree and of disobedience and of the Garden of Eden, what God's Word's really saying today is, you can taste and see, because now you take the redemption of Jesus, you take what we know to be true, that our sins are forgiven and that we're covered, and that we can taste and see that God is good. Just as Adam tasted and saw that he was naked and that everything became darkness and they were blinded to God in a spiritual sense after that. The wonderful thing about our lives, and we know this even better because we know the New Testament and we know what happened at Pentecost, but the wonderful thing is that we can taste of Jesus and we can see. It's like it opens our eyes. Are you getting this? As we taste of him, there's a revelation. That's what our eyes come in. There's a revelation of God's goodness. And I like the word taste. It doesn't say eat and see. Because eating has a connotation of, well, it's like a meal. You eat it and you're done with it. But tasting is more of a, you know, you taste something and you go, and you taste it again. You taste, right? I get this picture sort of, it's like this great big huge banquet table of all these hors d'oeuvres. Did I say that right? Yeah, I don't know. All these little cheeses and chabakis and little things, right? and you taste them. You taste them and you're not done. It's an ongoing thing. And that's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to keep tasting. We need to keep eating. It isn't just a one-time thing. We keep partaking of that bread of life. You understand that? We taste. When you taste something, there's a hunger to taste more. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. We're not fulfilled. It's not all done. I just want to have more of him. I want to have more of him. I want to have more of him. In John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, and you have seen in me, and still you do not believe, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. But I will raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, I want to say that again, because you know what we're talking about today, right? Listen to it again. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and who believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, because I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Taste and see that I'm good, is what Jesus is saying. You got to try it. You got to just taste it. And you will have a hunger that grows deep within you for more and more and more of Jesus. Taste and see, you know. And it's as you taste that revelation, that seeing, becomes more and more evident, becomes clearer. The longer I partake, the longer I'm eating off of Jesus, the more I'm eating of the bread of life, the more I'm getting it, the more I'm understanding his purpose, the more my eyes are open to see what he wants me to see. And the good news is I don't need to be ashamed anymore. Isn't that great? You don't need to be ashamed. Our faces are not covered with shame. Our faces are radiant with the glory of God. You know the difference between someone who's ashamed and someone who has no shame? Is you can see it in their eyes. You know, someone whose lives are filled with shame, when you look at them, they do this. Or they sometimes do this. They cover their eyes. They won't look you directly in the face. They won't make eye contact. You see that a lot of times with people who've been abused or been taken advantage of, and they feel shame and they feel guilt in their lives, and they'll never look you in the eye. But with our Heavenly Father, because of the righteousness of Jesus, you can look your Heavenly Father right in the eye. And He'll tell you how much He loves you. You don't need to turn your face away. You don't need to turn your face away. Because He loves you that much. No more shame. Are you getting it? Now listen, we're going to end here, but you've got to go to this one last passage in Peter. Because Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, references what we've just been talking about Psalm 34. So I want to read this for you. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2, and he goes and says this. He says, "Now, therefore, you are like newborn babies." This is chapter 2, verse 1. "And you crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Did you hear that? That's that same reference back to Psalm 34. He's saying, now that you've tasted that God is good, you've actually put your mouth to it, you've tasted, you've had the bread inside. Now you need to crave pure spiritual food. You need to get into the meat. You need to get deeper. You need to be more mature in your faith. I want to grow you up so that you become the men and women of God, doing the work of the kingdom that I've created you to do. Amen? Amen. And then listen to this, because this is really our identity. Just a few verses later, he says this, "Because you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy." Listen, you got to get this, okay? I'm going to make sure you get this before you leave. No one gets to leave otherwise. Some of you are going to be here for a while. You are a chosen people. You are a holy nation. Once you were not a people, now you are a people. Once you didn't know mercy, now you know the mercy of God. You need to stop walking around ashamed. You need to let that guilt and that sin be carried by Jesus Christ. He sees you as holy, as a royal priesthood. Wow! Like, if you don't go wow when you read that, are you kidding me, Lord? No, I'm not kidding you, Stan. I see you as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation. I see you. I see you as a people belonging to me. You are holy. Do you get that? You are holy. Because of Jesus' blood, you're not just going to be holy. You are holy. He has covered your sins, not in the future, but He's covered them now. You are holy. You are holy as He is holy. Even though you don't feel like it, even though no one around you thinks you're holy, you are holy. Essentially, okay, we're talking about the essence of holiness. You are essentially holy because God says so. Because God says, "I cover you, I forgive you, my blood is on you, and all I see, and I see surely, is the holiness of God." That's it. I see the holiness of God. We do not need to carry that shame anymore. And I don't care what that shame is in your life. It doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter how bad you failed. It doesn't matter how big a mistake you made. In Jesus Christ, and that's what that table is all about. In Jesus Christ, you are holy. You are pure. You are pure. We've been asking this question lately. Where is that holy place that, you know, where you first believed maybe? I've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks, and I told you that there's a place in my life. There's an actual physical place where my life was changed, and I'll never forget that place. And maybe not everyone has that. But I know I've heard of other people this last few weeks who said, you know, I have that too. There's a certain place where I got on my knees and I became a Christian, or I repented, or I changed my life. We talked about Zacchaeus and that there was a place, and it's a cool, the cool passage that says there's a spot. There's actually a spot where Jesus came under the tree and he stood in the spot and he looked up at Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. And that was holy ground between Zacchaeus and Jesus. That was a holy spot, a holy ground. And last week about Moses, you know, that was a holy ground where the bush was, where Moses encountered God. That was sacred soil. And so, thinking about that, I wonder if we were to ask Jesus today, Jesus, what about you, Jesus? Where is the holy ground for you, Jesus? I really believe his answer would be, oh, my son, the sacred holy ground is in you. My special place, that holy place, is in your heart. And it's where I want to dwell. It's where I want to live with you. You say amen? Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that we're holy. And it doesn't matter whether we feel it or not. It doesn't change the truth of it. That you impute that righteousness to us. You tell us we are. It's your righteousness and your holiness that covers us. Now, thank you for that today, God. I pray that we will live lives that are holy and that will reflect who we really are, not who we are not. Forgive us for keeping on living to the lowest common denominator in our lives or in the people around us, and instead, Lord, living according to the standard of your righteousness and your holiness. And I pray, God, today that our faces would glow with the radiance of the glory of God, and that we would know deep, deep in our hearts that you live right there. And because you live right there, I am holy ground. And that's a huge revelation, and it's so important. I am the holy ground that you choose to inhabit, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. It says that you're a holy nation, a God's special possession. And then it says this, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of his darkness, or out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to declare his praises. This needs to be, the response to God's word even needs to be praising God. And we've done this before, and I'm just going to give you opportunities. Try to be brief if you can. But what are we praising God for? What's God doing in your life? How can we thank him? Because we need to thank him. He's brought us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And as we prepare to come to his table, let's do that with gratitude. So who's first? Don? Yeah. There you go. Amen. Thanks. Ann? That's right. I want you to listen to me a minute, Ann. It's time that you got rid of the shame, because you carry it around all the time. You are not, you need to. It's done. You don't need to get rid of it. It's already gotten rid of. It's done. No more shame. This word is for you today. It's for you. Your face, and you know what? We see it both ways. I see you when your face is radiant and you're full of glory and you're full of the joy of the Lord. You need to own that today. You need to pray about it. You need to stand on it today, that you are bought with a price and God sees you as holy, and so holy he wants to live inside of you. And don't believe the lies anymore, that you need to carry that shame. Amen.
We're going to pray for you after the service too. Yes. Well, that's true. And you know what? When you know that God's forgiven you, then it gets easier to forgive yourself because it's already gone. It's taken away. What are we thanking God for today? How do we praise Him? Yes. His attentiveness. He listens to every word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Okay, we're going to get into this. Okay, Lorraine, what are we grateful for? How are we going to worship Him? Amen. This is a place for all people, including me. Thank you, God. Who else? Yes, Jill. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, God. Just receive that. Yes. Mm-hmm. A double portion. A double portion. Awesome. Amen. Amen. Yes, brother. Yes. Yes. Mm. Mm. Yes. Glory. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Good word. Somebody needs to hear this today. There's someone, one of you are having a hard time trusting somebody. I don't know who that person is, but what the word of God is you don't need to trust that person. You need to trust God. Trust me, even if you can't trust your brother or your husband or your father or whatever. Trust me. It's a good word. Someone needs to hear that today. Yes. Christina.
For the first time in many, many years, I found myself alone. And in the beginning, it was very, very difficult because it was a new way of life for me. And I've been, since that time, I've been through a lot of trials, one after another, it seems. But I do want to give witness of this today, that there's never been a minute that I haven't known the presence of God surrounding me, covering me, keeping me, letting me know that He loved me, Amen. Letting me know that if the world turned against me, it didn't make any difference because I still had Him. Amen. And the fact that it's one thing to know that I love Him, it was a wonderful thing to know that because I felt so unloved, so alone, it was wonderful when He put His arms around me and He said, I love you. To accept Amen. That fact that He did love me regardless of what the world may think or what trial or whatever I was going through, God loved me. Amen. And I give Him thanks for that.
Amen. Thank you. Teresa, did you have your hand up? I thought you had your hand up. Yeah, you do. Come on, we want to hear this.
I'm thankful because my sister is in the hospital today. She, not because an ambulance came and picked her up, but because she came to me and said she needed a medical detox and that she was willing to get help. And she wants help and is willing to get help. And
thank
I'm
you,
God.
God. Give glory to God. Amen. And you got a house to live in, right? You got a place to live, so I'm adding that one to it, too. Place to live.
Hey, everyone. So I'm just thankful for what Stan said today, but I was spending time in God's Word yesterday. And you know when you're like craving something? And you're craving it. Women, you'll know this better, probably. But you're like craving something. Mine generally is chocolate-based. And you crave it. You might be craving it for a long time. But when you finally like eat the thing you were craving, you just are like, oh, right? Thank you. And I think that I'm thankful for that craving that God's built in us. That we crave God. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who you are or how long you go, you are craving God. And as soon as you taste God, it's like you're like fulfilling that craving again. And I have friends, I think young adults have this every time in their life where they venture off for a long time and they're craving God.
Yes.
And I have friends who are starting to come around and start to taste God again. They're like, oh yeah, I love God, right? I was craving this. And anyways, be encouraged.
Amen, good word. Linda. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. You know, one of the ways that we show His praise is we applaud, we give thanks. Let's do that. Thank God.
God has been showing me this song. Showing me his constant character, his solidness, that He never changes. So even though, you know, my faith changes, it goes down or it goes up or whatever like that, He just keeps reminding me, you know, come back to me, like I am still here, I'm still God, I'm still, you know, the one. So
yeah. Amen.
Say thanks to God.
Thank you, Lord. Good word. Yeah. Only exercise I get.
Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to really thank the Lord for bringing me so far, and I'm just blessed. And I used to sit back here when I first came, and I knew nobody. Mm. And now the Lord, and I said, it was to the point where with my family, none of my kids would talk to me. And I said, and I'd be back there crying because, like, yeah, I had nobody. Mm-hmm. And all I had was, I clung to the thread, that little thread saying that, the Lord saying that he had something for me. So, and now it was just like, my life is full. My kids are back. And I said, Lord, I need to bring them to fullness and holiness. And this week, past 2 weeks have been horrendous. It's like the Lord shook the sugar tree and all the nuts fell out. Because my kids are in hospital, have been in hospital. And they all, they were at one time all dedicated to the Lord. And I believe that he's going to bring that back. Yes. And that they will come. And then in Jesus' name, mm-hmm. that he's gonna bring us all together.
Hallelujah.
And and I'd like to thank all those that who have befriended me. Mm-hmm. I see your lovely faces. And I thank you for that. And even if I didn't think I had a family before, I have one now.
Praise
and it's
God.
In you.
Amen.
You know. Thank you.
Good word. Thank you, Lord.
You had your hand up?
I'm just thankful to God that he proves that he's faithful from generation to generation to generation. Because when I think back, my great-grandparents were believers. My grandparents were. My parents were. And I am. Mm-hmm. My children are. And their children are. What a beautiful hope.
Amen. You can tell he just visited his granddaughter. Okay, we're going to just do one or two more, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. So, Linda? Okay. Yeah, well, then everyone else thinks they don't need one.
I am thankful, for one, that God got me through the last 6 weeks with my 10-year-old. That was a big challenge. And I'm really super grateful that her being here, I got to help assist leading her to the Lord.
Praise
and accepting
God.
Christ.
Wow.
So that's really big for her.
That's, thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Amen. Amen. Oh. Well, we all want to hear you.
Anyway, I just want to thank the Lord for my wife to start with. She's my new wife here. But there's one thing the Lord has done with us since we got married. It's amazing how he called us to this time. And then he called me on the 4th of August. He said, it's time for you and your wife to come into a Bible study in with me. So that's what we're doing right now. We got 30 days. He called us into a 30 days of Bible study and taking communion with him. And just taking that time just to serve him. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And I'm grateful that the Lord is really doing a job with us right
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Thank you, God. He's brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light, right? Mary, and then Marina, and then we're going to sing. Go ahead, Mary. Yeah, I think so.
I thank God for sustaining us and giving all of us hope. Like, that scripture that you said is so powerful and wonderful. And anybody who comes to God, he's not going to turn them away, no matter who you are. And I'm just so thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can run to him. Mm. And he's our refuge. And he just gives us a big hug and says, hey, it's going to be okay.
That'll be good. Good work.
I just thank the Lord for the love and comfort of friends. Sorrow is easier when it's divided. This week we lost our dog overnight. And we had friends that came to our house with a card and love. And it's been like that all year. We've had a lot of trials and really hard times. But it's other people that have helped us to make it through. And just the simple things mean the most. you know. And if you see somebody that's hurting, just come up to them or give them a hug, like it's so precious. And this morning I was even reminded of sometimes our characters aren't right towards each other, but God's bringing us to the point where love covers a multitude of sins. When somebody sins against us, you know, just like Jesus would say on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They're just human, and I pray for them. And so I want to thank anyone that's comforted us, you know, in this year. And I thank God for you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, right? We've been just praising God. We've been thanking God. We've been reminding ourselves what the truth is, that I am holy because he is holy, that he lives in holy ground. He lives in my heart. And that because he has brought us out of the darkness, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him because he's brought me into his wonderful light. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll end their service by coming to the Lord's table, and there'll be no more words, just some singing. You're welcome to pray with each other, to fellowship with each other. You're welcome to leave. I give you God's parting blessing as we leave. May the Lord bless you. Why don't you stand up? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Just come to Jesus when you come to the table. Eat and remember. This is his body. This is his blood. For you.
Jesus came to the cross. Bear a precious fountain. Deep love a healing. Flow from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. To my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. In the cross, be my glory.
that my God would welcome me into his mystery. They take his breath, take his wine, now the sick will make the blind for any to see. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember him, and remembrance leads us to worship, and as we worship him, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation, we remember you. Be his body in us, so that he has overcome every trial that we face. None too lost to be saved, none too broken for shame, are all welcome in his grace. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace we are making us faithful. For we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship, and as we worship you, our worship to your invitation, we remember you. Dying you destroy our death, rising you restore our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Mercy, we come to your table, by your grace, making us faithful. We remember you, worship you. Our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. Remember you. Rising, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, come in glory. Mercy, we come to your table. By your grace, you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember. respond to your invitation. We remember you. God bless you. Yes, we respond to your invitation. Remember you, Jesus, you.